Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good evening. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here on a Thursday morning. My name
you're
is
not,
Andy Bunker.
You're not on the Bunker Mentality. Good morning, not evening.
Oh, did I say evening?
Yeah.
Good evening.
Yeah. Good morning.
Still transitioning. Yeah, did I say good evening?
Yes, you did.
Wow.
Yes. Good
Goodness
morning.
Goodness gracious. I got to stop drinking before we come on the air.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Good morning. Try that again. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That right there is Randy McMichael. Wendy Adams producing the show. She's here waving in the other room. Brian Gebhardt producing the show as well. Tons to get to, like John and Hugh were talking about. Just a busy, busy day. Obviously, the Braves with another fantastic win last night. Another come-from-behind win last night.
Another
Luke Jackson.
Woo!
Sorry, Luke Jackson. Goodness gracious.
That's just pathetic, man.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Joe Patrick is going to join us at 10:40 this morning in the first hour as the Braves have an early first pitch today. The businessman special just after noon up there at SunTrust Park, which, by the way, I guess isn't going to be called SunTrust Park for very much
Did
longer.
Did you see that mess?
That's
like, who came up with that?
A lot of people, a lot of highly paid market researchers.
And that's all they can come up with.
And that's what's bad about it. There's people that, like, had been working on that and testing it and trying to figure out what would be the best thing to call it and getting paid a lot more money than you and I get paid. Yeah. And that's what they – truest? Really?
That's it.
All right. I remember earlier in the year we were talking about how UGA made the decision to rename the field. Now, Sanford Stadium is always going to be the name of the stadium, but the field is going to be Dooley Field.
It just sounds right.
And how – perfect that sounds, and how immediately yes. It's like it almost felt like it had already been called that for 25 years.
Right.
Feel different about Truist. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
It's the truest.
It is
the truest place you ever played. Or
it is the most true. I know John was trying to come up with nicknames for it. I'm just going to let that organically happen because I don't know that I've got anything off the top of my head that works for truest. Anyway, we'll get back into some Braves coming up in 20 minutes when we get into what's trending. And like we said, Joe Patrick going to join us at 10:40 because the Braves have an early pitch today, early first pitch today. But mandatory minicamp continues on up at Flowery Branch. And a lot of these guys had a chance to speak with the media yesterday. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn, Deion Jones, some of the rest of the members of the team throughout this first hour. But I think there's something that, Randy, we've talked about a bit leading into this season, and now we're hearing more of it from the players and from the coaches and from Dan Quinn himself as now everyone is together. And, you know, this is really – they're kind of starting to work towards the 2019 season.
Right.
And that's with all the changes in the coaching staff. Not a lot of changes in personnel, but a little bit on the offensive line. But with all the changes in the coaching staff, you get the sense that – there's a real comfortability with the new bodies that are in the building. And you heard Matt Ryan talk about it. You heard Julio talk about it yesterday, his comfortability with Dirk Cutter. And Dan Quinn talked about it yesterday as well. And I wonder how fans are feeling. Like, are we all feeling that same level of comfort, that same level of ease transitioning from what it was last year with the coaching staff and all the changes that they've made into this year? Because I generally am, and before we react to that and sort of dig deeper into what that means, here's Dan Quinn yesterday talking about what his role specifically is going to be this year.
to make sure I also build the same connection with the coaches, too. Their cohesiveness, that togetherness on the field. So on the offensive side, you can imagine my trust with Dirk and with Mike and Raheem and Greg and Chris and the guys. They're in such good hands that I don't want to get in too far. I want to make sure I have the connection with the players and our style and attitude stays right. But the biggest impact, you know, is on the special team side and on the defensive side. I'll try to budget more time towards that way.
And that just really gets at what we've been talking about a lot this offseason is Dan Quinn gets to focus more on the thing that he cares and knows about. I guess he cares about all of it, but the thing that his specialty is defense. But he said trust in there like five times.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's a good thing to hear between coaches and their coaching staffs.
Yeah, but again, I'm not going to read too much into it because I'm sure he said in some interviews last year, the year before, that he trusted Steve Sarkisian and Marquand Manuel. Here's the reason why I trust it. Because Dirk Cutter's a better coordinator than Sarkisian, and Dan's a better coordinator than Marquand. Mm-hmm. And that's why I trust it, because they've upgraded at those two positions, and no more, no less. I don't know a lot about Ben Kawika, the new special the new special teams coach. I don't know a lot about him. I know Keith real well, but assuming that's an upgrade, I mean, Dan's real familiar with him. So I look at it as this, where Dan has the faith where he's not going to have the medal in the offense. Now, he's going to have the Breakfast Club meeting or whatever that is every morning with Dirk and Mike. And you look, they got three former head coaches on that side of the mound, if you include Raheem Morris, the wide receiver coach. So he has that faith that these guys know what they're going to do, but at the same time, they're not going to be able to do what they want to do. And what I mean by that is they're still going to have to check with Dan and run things by Dan. Dan will probably be in the final game plan meeting on a Friday with with quarterbacks and everything, trying to make sure it's what he wants. Even though he's going to let Dirk call what he wants, Dan wants it a certain way.
Yeah, that's the only thing that stands out to me when we talk about the changes that they've made in the coaching staff. And look, you're right. Dan Quinn said every single week last year because he was asked every single week.
It seemed like it, wasn't it?
How you feel about Sark? Oh, Sark, he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
He also said in an article in The Athletic that came out yesterday, Jason Butt interviewed Dan Quinn. And Dan Quinn essentially said, yeah, I lie to you guys sometimes.
Of course.
Yeah, I lie to you. Which, of course, he does. And he should. He should lie to us.
You should never be forthcoming with the media like that.
Yeah. Ever. Coaches, general managers, people that are in charge of decisions that affect the in-house workings of professional sports teams, yeah, they lie to us.
Yeah.
And we know that. But the other part of that, though, too, is you can understand why what he said yesterday and talking about this staff and trusting these guys actually makes sense. Like, you know why he would, whether he's saying it for the media or not. I think he truly does believe that because you can see all the history and all of the success and all of the experience.
You hired those guys because of that.
That's why you got them.
Yes.
But my only worry, and it's not really a worry, but you could see it, is sometimes this happens. Like in theory, it's perfect. All of this experience in the building, and it's going to be this wonderful cohesive unit. And like you said, there's Breakfast Club meetings, and all right, Dan's giving him the freedom to do this, and then Dan's going to work on the defense. It's also a lot of cooks. That's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
It's a lot of cooks, but I think when you look at the guys on the offensive side of the ball, I know Mike Mularkey, he doesn't have ego. I mean, I know that he's not going to be one of those guys that, you know, we were talking about it yesterday, the whole Cleveland Brown thing. He's not a Todd Haley. He's not that kind of guy that's going to try and undermine what Dirk Cutter is saying. I don't think Dan would have took over the defensive, like as far as being the new defensive coordinator, if he didn't have those guys. If he had Sark probably still over there, I don't think he would have took and said, you know what, I'm going to be the defensive coordinator. He trusts those guys because they've been head coaches, they've been coordinators, they know what they're doing, and they're familiar with the personnel as far as quarterback, wide receiver, stuff like that. So that's why I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think that's the biggest thing when you look at coaches is that model right there when you have guys who've been former head coaches all on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. I don't see this staff being like that. I don't think Dan would have put a staff like that together.
And the thing that's going to make that most possible is the thing that matters most with every team is winning.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
cures all.
You can all be best friends and be working in harmony with one another. And if the team goes 6-10 next year, it doesn't matter.
Nope.
None of that matters. None of those guys are coming back.
Nope.
You can not like each other. You can not get along just so long as you have a working professional relationship.
That's all that matters.
You go 11-5. That doesn't matter if you guys don't get along.
It
worked on the field and it worked professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that anyone cares about. But what because we're sitting here, what is it, July 12th, July 13th, or June 13th today?
Mm-hmm.
there are no wins and losses yet.
Everybody's 0-0. Everybody.
So all we can really do is base today's conversations and today's opinions on what is happening today.
Right.
Right? They're 1-3 right now, so clearly it's not going well. We don't have that yet. We got to wait to the season to make those determinations. What I like about what they've done this offseason, and the reason that I feel more comfortable with the coaching staff going into this year than I did last year, is that Dan Quinn sort of went the opposite direction
of what everybody else is doing.
From what everyone else is doing, mm-hmm. and from what he had done.
Right.
Because when Dan Quinn, the first chance he got to revitalize the coaching staff, because when he came in, he came in with the staff that he hired when they started.
Right.
Shanahan was here and he had the experience, and was it Mike Smith?
Rick Smith was the defensive coordinator.
Right. But then when he got a chance to sort of hire all new people, he went very young, very inexperienced, first-time coordinators and all that sort of stuff. This time he's gone the other direction. And he had there's a quote from that Jason Butt article, again, in The Athletic, that really stood out to me as to just the philosophy of the changes that they've made, uh-huh. that I like the thought process. And here's what he said. Quote, the offseason essentially is when he checks in with himself. Quote, "It's my way to check myself because the NFL will check you if you don't."
Damn right it will.
Yeah. And that part I know for sure. I've been checked.
Yeah.
The decisions that he made, essentially, 2 years ago, he got checked on those decisions. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know what? If I don't figure it out and maybe change, and we talked about this last week. I know you weren't here last week, but we got into the evolution of the teams in the NFC South and which teams may have changed the most. It's funny to say this because the Falcons, on the surface level, like if you're just an NFL football fan following every team and not paying specific attention to the Falcons, well, it's Matt Ryan, he's back, right. Julio's back, mm-hmm. all right, same defense. They didn't change that much. Philosophically,
I don't think they changed philosophically a lot because everything is still the Falcons. Like the Falcons defense, Falcons offense, Falcons teams, that's what the building block of that or that whole program is. Now, if you could say as far as they made major changes to, the offense and the defense and everything like that, okay. But as far as like the if you map out what are the Falcons,
okay.
that hasn't changed.
Okay, so the big picture philosophy
that has not changed.
The identity. As Dan Quinn
hasn't changed at all. But if you look at the hires, when you bring in that kind of experience, because you did go opposite. You did hire a first-time NFL offensive coordinator. You did hire or promote, a first-time defensive coordinator. So, that's kind of like pipping backwards. But now you're back on where you're comfortable. And I think Dan's comfortable with this right here. I think it was more or less when you're putting your job in those first-time coordinators' hands, it makes you nervous. And you can look at Dan on the sideline like with that paper, like he likes to twist it a lot like that, like, don't call that right there. Or why'd you call that? Now it's on him now. Mm-hmm. And he trusts Dirk. I trust Dirk. I think everybody up there, Flowery, trusts him. I just don't think that trust was all the way in Sark. I think it was more or less, we got to say this, because he's a part of this family or whatever. But that 100% trust, I don't think it was ever there.
Well, and you kind of heard that a little bit with Julio yesterday. And I think Julio's quote was probably more about the comfortability that he has with Hi, John Fricke.
You left his phone.
Don't forget your phone, John.
You can't go naked without your phone.
Yeah, you can't. You can't do that. See you, John.
Bye, John.
Fricke left his phone in here. He had to come back and get it. But Julio mentioned yesterday his familiarity with Cutter and his comfortability mm-hmm. with Cutter, and whether or not that had anything to do with where he felt with Sark, he's more comfortable with Dirk Cutter.
I think everybody is more comfortable with experience over the new guy. It is what it is. I'm sure that people were not comfortable, or the players that when the LA Rams when they hired Sean McVay, I'm sure at the beginning, all those players weren't comfortable. They were like, who the hell is this young boy?
Uh-huh.
But he had to prove to them. I think that has a lot to do with what's going on in Florida right now. They know what Dirk Cutter brings to the table. They really didn't know what Sark brought. And he had some good calls and some good games, but it just seems like they never had that 100% faith in him.
The NFL will check you.
You damn sure will.
I've been checked. I like that. That's an honest admission of what the last couple years were. All right, we'll come back and get into what's trending, including who's Brian Snitker talking about.
He's shown that he can adjust and adapt to that. And like I say, he's a kid that can change a game.
You ain't talking about Luke Jackson.
That's for sure. Who is he talking about? Find out next in What's Trending. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
The Game.
Swing and a hot shot toward the gap. That's going to get down. Riley's rolling around second, a little stumble.
There you have it. The Braves walk it off last night in extra innings, the final in 11. Ozzie Albies with the game-winning double. You know who scored the run there? Austin Riley.
He was so good yesterday.
Because that's just what he does.
He was so good yesterday. He was amazing yesterday. I'm so sick of that when it hits on top of that wall right there. He's got all in the home run, all right? They had two of those yesterday. But, yeah, he was so good yesterday. And, of course, they get out to a good lead, and everything's going well, and then the pitching. But Soroka didn't have his best stuff yesterday.
Yeah, you know that.
He didn't have his best stuff.
Usually we blame it on the bullpen, and usually that's fair because it's usually the bullpen's fault. And we'll get to Luke Jackson in a minute and how sorry he is. But Mike Soroka had his worst start of the season yesterday. Yeah. He was not sharp. He wasn't the normal guy that we've gotten used to seeing. What he had given up in his combined starts, he had given up, 11 earned runs on the season. And he gave up six yesterday, or five yesterday.
Yeah.
That is very un-Mike Soroka-like. But here's the deal. It's going to happen every once in a while.
I mean, that happens to all pitchers.
Yep.
Right? I mean, and not just Mike Soroka. And everybody always says, well, that happens to all relievers, too. I don't care about that. I'm talking about our guys.
Right.
But, he just didn't have his good stuff yesterday. And then the Pirates can hit the ball. I mean, their biggest weakness has been, their pitching also, and they've had a lot of injuries. But, I mean, they got guys that can rake on there. And you saw that yesterday. But, what do I always say? We're not going to apologize for a win, right? We would not apologize for a win. And I mean, I think everybody had it going yesterday. You saw Ozzy had it going. Freddie just doing what Freddie does. A couple opposite fields away from that shift hits yesterday. I mean, it was a solid win for him.
Yeah, and I think that, this is the way that it works with athletes. It's the way that it works with coworkers, family members, whatever. If it's a once-in-a-while thing where the behavior or the performance isn't as good as it's supposed to be, then you can accept it. Everybody has bad days.
Yes.
Like I said, Mike Soroka had made 10 starts in the season and given up 10 earned runs.
Right.
Yesterday, he gave up five.
He had a rough one.
He had a bad one. Now, the good thing about Mike Soroka is, even when he has a bad start, he drove in two runs just to make
How
up for
that?
It. My bad, guys. I know I'm not sharp on the mound tonight. I'm driving a couple runs, though, just to make you feel better. With guys like Luke Jackson, who are consistently not great, and I know yesterday wasn't technically a blown save, but we've got to keep these things in mind because that was a blown hold opportunity. Blown saves are different. He's got five blown saves. Add that to what he did yesterday as well. We know this. Everybody knows this. There's not a closer on this roster right now, and they need to find
one. They need to find something. All right? They got to find something because, I mean, how much longer can you be bailed out by this hitting? And of course, I don't think – we know that this hot streak and how they're raking right now, it's not going to last the whole season. We know that. But – when it does, I mean, you can't have it as a bailout. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go score. Let's play the game the way it is. But now they're having to bail the pitching out so much. But that dude, between him and, I mean, when Tomlin came in, was I excited? Like, he's in. But he wasn't that bad. But it's like, okay, he's not that bad today. What about if he comes in tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's the thing right there. It's hard for me to – I haven't seen just solid back-to-back performance from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. I mean, I'm talking about Tomlin. I'm talking about Webb. I'm talking about Luke Jackson. I mean, I'm still not excited about no A.J. Minter. He came in, and what did he do? Oh, he walked a couple guys. I mean, they got to do something. And I know the trade deadline, they're talking about waiting to that. Who do you go and get? Go get somebody. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure that there's something out there better than what that is right there.
Agreed. Yeah. Now, the great thing is the offense has bailed out the pitching staff, the starting pitchers, the first two games of this series. The first three games of this series, actually, because you include what Soroka did yesterday. And they're in first place solo now, a game ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies. So no matter what happens today, the Phillies come into town tomorrow, and the Braves, at the very worst, are in a tie for first place, which makes this weekend series even more exciting than it already would have been.
Yeah.
There's a chance they could have a two-game lead before the Phillies come in here tomorrow if the Phillies lose today and the Braves win. But no matter what happens, the Braves will have at least a tie for first place with Philly coming in here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun litmus test. You get to check in on where you are now compared to where you were at the beginning of the season.
Correct.
And maybe distance yourselves a little bit from the Phillies. Now, we were talking about how Austin Riley has continued to be very good this season. Fastest Braves player ever to 10 home runs, just 26 games. Here's Brian Snicker talking about him postgame.
I mean, it's good for him. I mean, it's going to happen to him. He's a young player. He's going to, they're going to make pitches on him. And the best thing we can do is keep running him out there and let him figure it out and see more pitches, see the league. He's shown that he can adjust and adapt to that. And like I say, he's a kid that can change a game.
I like that right there. Or let him figure it out. My thing is, and now I'm really starting to understand, because I'm looking at all the young guys when they bring them up. Very rarely do they send back the position player. Very rarely let them figure it out. The pitching, on the other hand, it's back and forth, back and forth. And I just realized as soon as he said that, that we got to let them figure it out. And you said this yesterday. They're going to figure him out. You know, I mean, they got video on him, yep, and everything. And how does he adjust to it? He adjusted yesterday, but now can he put that, back to back? Can he do it again today? Because they know how to pitch to him. But at the same time, I mean, every time you're going to hang something over there, and he's going to get it.
You can't miss.
And he's going to get it.
You can't, they've figured out some holes in his swing, sure, and he had about a rough five-game stretch, 3-for-5 yesterday with a triple and a home run, by the way.
Pretty good.
But you can't miss, mm-hmm, and that's what they did late in the ninth inning. Yeah. He missed his spot. He threw him a fastball high.
And he caught it.
And he crushed it.
He caught it.
And that's what he does. Austin Riley has been, as good as advertised, better than advertised, however you want to put it. Fastest Braves player to 10 home runs in just 26 games. We've said this many times. Say it again. He's not going anywhere.
No.
Do you think that the lineup may be out, so I apologize if I just haven't seen this. Do you give Josh Donaldson the day off today because he got Musgrove on the mound for the Pirates?
They said this yesterday on the broadcast. They usually like to give him the day off after a night game.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to sit. And if he sits, just take the suspension. That's what I'm saying, because I was wondering, too, if Musgrove he's in there?
He's in there.
All right.
He's batting cleanup.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Because I know they said last night, Chip, and then they were saying that they like to give him the day off after a night game. But all right.
Let's do it. Let's actually do it this time, guys. He's already suspended for a game.
That's what I said. What's two more?
Go get him.
Yeah, why not?
The first pitch, no matter where it goes, just charge. Because, I mean, I think Musgrove's ready, too.
What if Musgrove hits him today?
Hits him?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Oh, man. it's going to be some smoke in the city.
See, I'm not for unwritten rules, because if somebody hits a home run on you, don't hit them.
Right.
That's lame.
Right.
But these are two guys who clearly want to fight.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Like, if you want to do that I mean, there's probably other ways as a grown-up to talk through your issues. But if you just want to go out there and throw down and that's the only thing you can come up with, go ahead and do it.
Why not?
Oh, but actually do it.
But if you're...
With
this big series coming up, with this big series coming up this weekend, would you... what if the suspension comes down over the weekend and he has missed a game against Philly? You're missing that bat.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So why not take it today?
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, I mean, but if they gonna fight, like I say, don't be out there bumping tummies.
Yeah. If you want to watch the show, by the way, I always forget to mention this because it's so new. Watch 929thegame.com. I was doing the simulated tummy bump
it's very uncomfortable. But our guy Deshaun is pushing the button today. He has a big day today. He's gonna run his 40 today, so
yeah.
Pray for him and, all that other good stuff.
Apparently, he's going to attempt a 40-yard dash at Piedmont Park at noon. Carl Dukes will be on hand and hopefully give us a recap of it in the noon hour.
Yeah.
His goal is to run a 4.6.
Yeah.
Seems unlikely. We'll check in later.
Yes.
Well, all three phases, there's new things going on, defensively, offense, special teams. So for the players, that new scheme also involves new techniques, new drill work. So intensity and the learning that's going on in all three phases, a lot of notes, a lot of urgency, because I've heard that before. So everybody's hearing a lot of the things for the first time. I'd say, some fresh ideas and some areas that we're going to, change, and I think that's a good thing.
Dan Quinn from yesterday, day two of mandatory minicamp. Today is day number three, and it will be over, and then the guys will have about 5 weeks to hang out and stay fit and come back for training camp on July 22nd. The most terrifying 5 weeks of the year,
yes, sir,
for front offices of NFL teams.
As soon as practice is over, basically the conversation you're going to have with them, don't end up on the sports show. Don't end up on the ticker.
You know what? Because we'll get more into the Falcons in the 11 o'clock hour, NFL No Huddle an hour from right now. You've been a part of those conversations.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know really exactly what they sound like.
Well, basically it's like, all right, guys, great, great work. Make sure you continue to work when in the rest of the offseason and everything. Go out, have a good time. Don't end up on SportsCenter. That's what I mean. It would literally be that. Don't end up on it.
Just that simple.
Right, yeah.
Just be a grown up.
Just have fun.
Okay.
And it would a lot of times be geared towards young guys. Guys, have fun, enjoy yourself and everything. Because I know when I was a rookie, we didn't sign till training camp. So, we didn't have any money.
Oh, so you didn't have any money?
We had no money.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's different now.
Yeah, it's different now. They get that check early. Yeah, it's different now that we didn't get paid till training camp. When we got a training camp, that's when we got our checks.
Lindstrom and McGarry have more money than they've ever thought about having in their whole lives now.
So, yeah, go have fun.
It's strange in Atlanta United kind of having to manufacture their own emotion a little bit. This is going to feel like a training session. And the hardest thing, I think, for any team in the situation is not letting it be at practice speed.
That's Jason Longshore this morning talking about the fact that Atlanta United plays the Charleston Battery tonight in Kenesaw, the Third Bank Stadium.
Yes.
In front of no one.
Yeah.
There will be no fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Because I guess it wasn't supposed to be here, so then they didn't have all the logistics with the tickets and all that stuff.
I said that the other day. Are the logistics, is that going to be the biggest thing when it comes to this?
It's going to be weird.
Let me tell you something, man. Go play.
Sure.
That's the most important thing. You're talking about like a practice. Okay. When you're competing against somebody else, it should always rev it up. That's why I always tell people, like, the best thing about training camp is the joint practices. Because you want to get somebody else. Oh, yeah. You don't need no fans out there to go against it and you get your competitive juices flowing.
No doubt.
Come on, man.
You want to go out and you want to go beat them. But what? Even still. Pretend.
Oh, I would have loved to have the fans out there. That's right. Why I don't understand that part.
I'm just saying from your perspective. Man, you played in a lot of NFL football games.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been weird if the stadium was empty?
Of course it'd been weird. It'd been weird, but at the same time, they still going to kick that ball off at 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Ball gonna be kicked off whether anybody or not. That's why I mean you can't rely on that to play. You gotta get yourself going.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later on in the show as well. I've got some like mild concerns about what something like this signifies for the MLS.
All right.
I know it's not the MLS's fault.
All right.
It's Charleston's fault. It's the groundskeeper's fault at their stadium and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But Pity Martinez came here to play for a world-class franchise.
He did,
and they have a great home stadium
they
and
do.
All that's great. Now he's going to go play in front of nobody at a college that he's never heard of before?
All right. Oh, and how about the Blues? Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Shout out to St. Louis.
Yes.
Thank you to the Blues.
That goalkeeper was strong.
Screw you, Boston.
I didn't want to go that far, but.
I will.
Yeah.
Man, there was a lot of swearing on the broadcast as well. I enjoyed that. Joe Patrick going to join us next. Probably won't swear on this broadcast. Maybe he will. The only way to find out is to not go anywhere. Our Braves insider joins us next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to an NFL no huddle, back into some of the audio from Flowery Branch yesterday. Dan Quinn meeting with the media, Matt Ryan as well. We'll get into all that coming up in 20 minutes, top of the 11 o'clock hour. Before we do that, though, Braves with an early game today. And so our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, been kind of a weird last couple nights at the ballpark, huh? Obviously, one game doesn't even end officially, and then they call it after 2 hours of rain. Last night, another long rain delay, and then it ends in extra innings. You've been spending a lot of time up there at SunTrust Park.
Yeah, weird is one way to describe it. I've been getting in my car at about 2 a.m. last couple nights, so it's been a little bit draining on my sleep schedule, but it's been fun. You know, can't complain too much.
And certainly with them winning the first three games of the series and the way they've won the last two as well, last night with the walk-off from Ozzie Albies, it's pretty incredible how often this team does that, even when they get behind. Do you get a sense when you talk to them after wins like last night, just about where that belief comes from, that even when they're down, like they were down 5-1 and Acuna hits the game-tying homer a few days ago, why they just believe so much that they're always in games?
Yeah, I mean, so many guys on this team just want to be in those situations at the end of games where the game is on the line and it's their job to you know, get a hit or drive in the winning run or something like that. We were talking to some of the guys last night. Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies both had, you know, Austin Riley's home run wasn't game-winning, but it was game-saving, certainly.
Yep.
The game was on the line with him up at bat, and he hits the home runs to take it into extra innings. And these guys just love to compete, and they love to be in those situations. And we've talked about it, especially with Austin Riley, you know, his fellow players and Brian Snicker both say, you almost have to expect him to come through in those situations. They say he's been clutch since his days at Rome with the Rome Braves. He's been the same exact way. So it's really fun to see.
Well, Joe, you were right about Gosman. You did say something was going to go down, and it's such a convenience that it was, you know, an IL type thing. But we were just talking to Joe, and Nick yesterday was talking about letting Austin Riley figure it out and everything. And me and Andy were thinking, you know what? Of all the position players that come up as a young guy, they struggle. He lets them figure it out. Why do you think that's not the case with some of these young pitchers?
You know, I think there's more competition with the pitching, with how many young pitchers the Braves have. And I think that, you know, with the hitters, you need to have consistency. You need to be in there every single day seeing pitches like Brian Snicker said. And with pitching, you know, especially as a starter, you're coming up every 5 days, and it's hugely important, not just what you do from a you know, perspective of how many runs you give up, but if you can't last into a game, then you're taxing the bullpen. Your poor performance is affecting a lot of other players on the team, as opposed to if a hitter just goes out and strikes out three or four times in a game, you know, so be it. But it's not really going to have a long-lasting impact, where if you're a starter and you cannot get through these innings, it is having an impact 2, 3, 4 games down the road.
I know that we've been speculating as to what it's going to mean for the starting rotation when Dallas Keuchel finally gets here. He's going to be one of the starters. And the thought was, from us, was it was going to be at the expense of either Gausman or Folty. Folty hasn't been good either, and we know that Newcomb's going to make a start coming up. Is there a chance that both Gausman and Folty end up out of the starting rotation with Keuchel on his way?
Well, I think Folty's still okay. He has some credibility, you know, still with the team. Obviously, coming off an all-star season last year, I think that there is reason to suspect that he will improve from where he is now. And I think that, you know, from a physical standpoint, it's been a struggle for him early in the season. And I think things are, you know, at least I think the Braves think things are starting to turn with him. I know the results aren't quite there with his performances so far, but I think they're seeing that he's feeling better. His pitches are getting a little bit more break. His swing and miss percentage is actually still very good. He's getting a lot of swinging strikes. So those are all good signs. It's just the final numbers haven't been there. So I think Fulte's still safe, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they go out and try to trade for another starting pitcher. Madison Bumgarner has been a guy that's been heavily rumored to potentially come to the Braves. Obviously, those have quieted down a bit since the news of Keuchel. But, you know, Folty is pretty much the lowest now on the pecking order, I would say. But I think he's still relatively safe, considering that I think it would be pretty surprising if the Braves did go out and trade for another starting pitcher.
Well, so, and to that point, I mean, this guy Luke Jackson and Mentor and Tomlin and Webb and all these guys, are we just stuck with them right now, or do you think it might get better as far as making a move to bring somebody else in? Because right now it just seems like, you know, Snick just can't figure out who to put there in late game situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think this team still needs a closer. I mean, we've talked about this for a while now. You know, Luke Jackson, hey, statistically, you know, when the guys who judge, you know, go in depth on the analytics of, you know, the spin rate on his pitches and how much it's breaking, he's very good. But the results have not been there as a closer, and I don't think he's best suited to that role as a closer, considering he's basically a two-pitch pitcher, and he's almost a one-and-a-half-pitch pitcher. He's going to throw sliders about 80% of the time, and he'll just mix in a fastball every now and then. So I think with a closer, you want someone who's a little bit more diversified in that respect, and I think you're right. You know, if you get a closer in and you have a guy like Luke Jackson in your setup role, then I think you're looking pretty comfortable there. I think the bullpen does deserve some credit. Obviously, you know, Luke Jackson gives up the home run in the ninth inning last night, but the bullpen pitched 6 innings last night and only gave up, what was it, two runs in those 6 innings. So pretty good performance from the guys as a group. It just seems like, you know, every so often, you know, you're giving up those runs in those clutch situations like you mentioned. And I think that if you bring in a real bona fide closer, that helps secure a lot of those ales.
Yeah, that's the thing with Luke Jackson that always, I think actually probably makes me laugh more than anything, is you see the obvious stuff that smart. I mean, well, yeah, his stuff is good. But then you see the obvious results that you don't have to be a mathematician to understand. He comes into games in important spots, and guys hit home runs off of him. Now, the spin rate on his curveball might be really good, and he's getting – I know Knox Bardeen wrote an article for our website about how unlucky he's been in some of those spots, and maybe I'm just too simple. I would like to have a closer who has good luck. instead of a closer who has bad luck. And I also think sometimes you throw pitches that put yourself in position to have bad luck. But no, you're right. There are people that make those arguments. But that's why I don't think you can quantify in every situation guys that are fit to be in the closing role and guys that may just have good stuff and be fit to be long relievers. And to me, and this is just based on the results that I've seen this year from Luke Jackson, he seems like a guy who is not fit to be a closer in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I always go back to the interview that you guys did with John Smoltz earlier this season where he talked about this situation. And I think, you know, it's no surprise. You don't see many, you know, World Series teams or teams really contending at the top of the league that are just kind of are breaking in a first-time closer. You know, in that role, you need someone who's been there, done that, experienced the ups and experienced the downs. And I think that, like, right now, Luke Jackson's getting some great experience for the future, kind of being in this role, being in these very high leverage situations. But if the Braves are really going to try to contend, that's not what you want in there. You don't want to try to be blooding in a new closer. Right. You know, you want someone bona fide who you know can get the job done. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that they will still look. I think they're definitely still interested in adding one more arm to that bullpen at the end of the bullpen to try to secure all these things.
So last one for me. I know you're not in every other clubhouse around the league or whatever, but we were kicking this around. Do you think the Braves have the deepest lineup in baseball right now?
It's got to be up there. I mean, now with some of these guys getting hot, especially a guy like, you know, Ozzie Albies, who's really seemed to figure out something from the left side of the plate. You know, he hit two opposite field home runs from the left side, which when I looked up on Fangraphs, I couldn't find a time where he's ever hit an opposite field home run from the left side in his life. When he's batting left-handed, he just seems to be like a straight pull hitter.
Yeah.
And it just shows, you know, like if he's doing that, I mean, that is some crazy, crazy dynamism you have in that lineup. Ozzie Albies is batting eighth. You know, it's just crazy. you've got Acuna at the top and Ozzie Albies at the bottom. There's not an easy spot in the Braves lineup, except for maybe the catcher spot and who's batting seventh or something. But, you know, they're heavily guarded. And yeah, and the other thing about this team is not only can they hit, but they can run, they're athletic, right. They can do all the things you need from the top to the bottom of the lineup.
Joe, just like 15 seconds here, so it's a quick answer. But with Joe Musgrove on the mound today and Josh Donaldson batting fourth, will they fight?
Please.
Yeah, who knows? I hope we see some fireworks.
Me too.
If you're going to get suspended, make it worth it.
Exactly.
All right, Joe, we appreciate it, man. Have a
appreciate
great Thursday.
It, Joe.
That's Joe Patrick there, our 92.9 The Game.
Or just hit a home run, Josh.
Oh, that would be
better. Oh, that'd be great. Now, is he going to go head down and run the bases, or is he going to give him a glare?
I think he'd look at him.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think he'd give it, or maybe a slightly slower trot around the bases.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again to Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. Follow him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. Coming up next, the NFL No Huddle. And what exactly Deion Jones was talking about here?
The time I have with these guys has been great so far, and I don't want it to end, to tell you the truth.
Why would it end? What's Deion Jones getting at?
Give him his money.
What's he worried about? We'll get into that coming up next in the NFL No Huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.